verses that we read. So if you have your Bibles, do please turn to it, because I'll be referring to it. But I just want to refer to a verse in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17 and verse 32. It's the verse that is there on the screen before you. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." That's the verse. Remember Lot's wife. It's very interesting. When you read the Old Testament, you meet a large number of people, because the Old Testament is primarily a book of history. And so you meet people like Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and Solomon. And some of these people were people of great faith. They were wonderful servants of God. You have Abraham and you have Moses and you have Ruth and Esther and Isaiah and David. Some of these great servants of God. But nowhere in the New Testament do you read Jesus saying, "Remember Abraham." Nowhere do you have Jesus saying, "Remember Ruth. Remember Isaiah." These people have great lessons to teach us. Abraham teaches us about faith, what it means to trust in God when all the events of life seem to be against us. And Ruth teaches us what it means to trust in God when you don't know God because you haven't been brought up in the community of faith. And Esther teaches us what it means to trust in God when your nation and your people are under the threat of extermination. But Jesus doesn't say, "Remember Abraham, remember Ruth." Now, these people have great lessons to teach us. But he does say, "Remember Lot's wife." He says to us, there is this woman in the Old Testament, Lot's wife. You don't even know her name. There is this woman in the Old Testament, Lot's wife, and she has great lessons to teach us. If you examine her life and you read those passages where she's spoken about, he says, she will teach you some important lessons. So this morning then I want us to turn to Genesis 19, to the passage that speaks about Lot's wife, and I want us to see what lessons we learn from her. It's a tragic story. The whole story is a dark, tragic tale. You have these twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were very close to each other. And in Sodom, there lived this man, Lot. And he had his wife and he had his two daughters. And these cities were full of sin. To this day, even people who've never read the Bible know about Sodom and Gomorrah because they've become so famous. There have been films made about it. And these stories are well known. And there are some words in the English language that have come from the name of one of these cities. It's a terrible story, a well-known story. And there were people who were absolutely, utterly sinful in this city. The Bible is very cautious in its language. But we're told that when these two angels came to Sodom and Lot took them into his house, we're told that the men of the city came to his house and they said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we may know them." Now, you know how the Bible uses the word "know." It doesn't mean just to become an acquaintance of that person. There is more involved in it. There is real sin involved here. They wanted to commit dreadful sin with these visitors. So these are cities where there is dreadful sin happening. And God has decided to destroy the cities because God is holy and God hates sin and God judges sin. And so God sent two angels into Sodom to rescue Lot and his family. And the angels came and said to them, you've got to get out. The cities are going to be destroyed. And Lot and his family leave the city. And then God destroys the city. And the last verse we read, that very famous verse. And it said, but Lot's wife behind him looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. It's a historical event. This is not some mythical language here of some historical things that may have happened. These things really happened. Why does Jesus say, remember Lot's wife? What lessons does Lot's wife teach us? Well, I have three lessons for you this morning from Lot's wife. Three very, very serious lessons from Lot's wife. And the first is this. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had many blessings. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had many blessings. We live in a nation where for many the Bible is well known, or at least the Bible is accessible. If anybody in our country wanted to know what the Bible says or who God is or who Jesus is, the information is fairly easily accessible. They can get a Bible, they can speak to Christians, they can go to a church. But you have to remember that at the time when this incident happened, the knowledge of God was utterly unknown here on earth. There were people who were living in Egypt. There were people who were living in what is today Arabia. There were people who were living in today what is Turkey. We don't know how far mankind had spread through the earth after the flood, but certainly those areas in the Middle East were populated, and there is evidence, archaeological evidence, that there were people in Egypt and in Arabia and in Turkey and slightly further, even perhaps going towards India, there were people in all those areas. Now, if you had gone to Egypt in those days, and you'd spoken to somebody in Egypt in those days, and you would have said to them, can you tell me about the one true living God, who he is and what he is like? They would have said to you, we don't know what you're talking about. Knowledge of the one true living God, the God who is full of grace, the God who is full of love and full of mercy, the God who has made a covenant with Abraham, God who has made promises to Abraham, and God who has said, I will bless the nations of the earth through Abraham and his people. This knowledge was unknown except by a small group of people, Abraham and his family. So all these people were in total ignorance, but Lot's wife wasn't among them. Lot's wife wasn't an Egyptian. She wasn't an Arab. She wasn't Turkish. She belonged to the covenant community of God's people. She was married to Abraham's nephew, Lot. And Abraham was the man to whom God had spoken. Abraham was the man to whom God had made his promises. And Abraham had spoken about these promises to his wife Sarah, to his nephew Lot, and to his nephew's wife. He had spoken about this, how there is a God in heaven who is gracious and merciful and full of love, and how this God in heaven is going to bring blessings upon the earth. And Lot's wife had this knowledge. And despite having this knowledge that God is gracious and God is merciful and God is full of blessing, despite having this knowledge, as they were fleeing judgment, she turned back with a heart that actually loved the kind of life that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't simply because she turned back. It's because in turning back, she revealed her heart, that her heart was with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a look of longing. It was a look of, I don't want to leave. I want to be where you are. Despite having knowledge, she was judged and was lost. It is a lesson to us. This is why Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. He is saying, you can be a person who knows the Bible. You can be a person who knows what the Bible teaches. You may not know everything in the Bible, But you may be a person who knows quite a lot that is in the Bible. You may know about the God of the Bible, that He is merciful and kind and loving. You may know all about Jesus, that He was born in this earth and He came to this earth to save sinners. You may know about His death on the cross of Calvary, and you may know that He died to save sinners. And you may know that all you have to do is trust Him, believe in Him, receive Him, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved from your sin. You may know all these things, and yet despite having all this knowledge, you may still be lost and spend eternity away from God in a dark place, because having knowledge by itself does not save. Lot's wife proves that. You have knowledge, that's a dangerous thing unless you use your knowledge. You know that God has sent His Son into the world. And you know that Christ invites you to come to Him. And you know that Christ says to you that you must believe in Him and trust Him and put all your faith in Him and He will save you. You know this, but knowledge won't save you. You must actually act, and you must receive Him as your Lord and your Savior if you're to be saved from the judgment of God. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had many blessings. She had the knowledge of God and His promises and His character. And despite having this knowledge, she lost her life. She lost her soul. A second lesson from Lot's wife, and it is this. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had godly relatives. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had godly relatives. There were three people in her immediate family about whom we know a lot. Abraham was her husband's uncle. And we know a lot about Abraham. And as I've said, Abraham is mentioned in the Bible as an example of faith. In the New Testament, when the writers of the New Testament were writing about faith, and they wanted to use an Old Testament example of faith, they invariably turned to Abraham. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans, wants to write about faith. And he writes about Abraham, and he says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. James is writing about faith, and he turns to Abraham. And he says, here is this man who is an example of faith. The writer to the Hebrews is writing about faith, and he turns to Abraham. And he says, here was a man of faith. So here was Abraham, this man who had trusted God, this man whose life showed what it means to trust God. He was in this town called Ur of the Chaldees. And God had appeared to him. And God had said to him, leave your people, leave your town, leave your area, and come follow me. And Abraham had followed. Abraham hadn't looked back. Abraham hadn't longed after Ur of the Chaldees and hadn't kept looking back. I wish I was back there. I wish I was back there. He had trusted God. He had followed God. He hadn't yearned for that which was behind. And he had spoken to Lot and to Lot's wife and said, God appeared to me and God granted me faith. And I left it all. I left the world so that I may follow God. She knew all about this. She had Abraham as a relative. She had Abraham's wife Sarah as a relative. And again, Sarah in the Bible is spoken of as a godly woman, a woman of faith. The writer to the Hebrews writes about Sarah and says when all circumstances seemed to be against her, when she was past the age of childbearing, and God came and gave her a promise and said, this time next year you will have a son. She believed. Now, I'm not saying these were perfect people. I'm not saying they were sinless people. I'm not saying that their faith was perfect and strong. Of course, their faith was up and down. It was weak and strong. And their lives were inconsistent, like everybody's lives are inconsistent. But they are held in the Bible as examples of godliness and of faith. and she had her husband Lot. I wonder what you think of Lot. I know in this passage he doesn't come across well. There are some horrific things in this passage, like the way that he offers his daughters to them. And I know that's a horrific thing. But I want to read you some verses that the Apostle Peter wrote about Lot. And this is what Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says about Lot. He says, God rescued righteous Lot, who was greatly distressed by the conduct of the wicked. This righteous man lived among sinful people day after day and tormented his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. In two verses, Peter calls Lot righteous three times. This righteous man who lived a righteous life and tormented his righteous soul when he saw all the wickedness that went on around him. That is God's verdict of Lot. Not a perfect man. I know that. Not a perfect man. But he was a righteous man in that he trusted God. And just as Abraham had trusted God and had been pronounced legally righteous and was justified, so Lot had trusted God and was pronounced legally righteous and was a child of God. And he lived a holy life in Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter says he saw all the sin that was going around him and his soul was tormented. He felt the anguish of it because he wanted righteousness. He wanted holiness. He wanted the word of God to be ruling in those towns. And he saw sinfulness. And his righteous soul was tormented. You can imagine him coming home and weeping and talking to his wife and saying, "Do you know, you won't imagine what I saw in the marketplace today. You won't imagine the kind of things I heard in somebody's house today. The things that are happening in our town, they're absolutely horrific." He was anguished in his soul by what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, a righteous man. She had a righteous husband, and her husband's uncle was a righteous man, and his wife Sarah was a righteous woman. People of faith. These were people who surrounded Lot's wife. And yet, despite having godly relatives, she was judged and went to a lost eternity. Remember Lot's wife. You know, you may have family members who are Christians. And they're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. I accept that. None of us here is perfect. And they may have made mistakes in the way that they've lived their lives. But you have friends, you have relatives who are Christian people and they love the Lord Jesus. But just knowing them and being related to them, being associated with them in some way, does not get you to heaven. Salvation isn't contagious. It isn't caught. It is taught. It's not like flu that you sit next to a person who has this thing and you catch it. Christianity isn't like that. You don't get Christianity by coming to church. You don't get to heaven by coming to church and just reading the Bible. You get to heaven by actually taking action, trusting in Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior, putting your faith in Him and resolving to follow Him, turning from your sin, repenting of your sin and putting your faith in Christ. She was a blessed woman. She had godly relatives, but she never actually came to faith and was never therefore saved. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had many blessings. Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had godly relatives. And thirdly and finally, Lot's wife was judged despite the fact that she had been warned. She was judged despite the fact that she had been warned. Did you notice as we read the passage that there was only one house in these twin cities that were actually given the warning of what God was going to do. None of the other people in Sodom and Gomorrah knew what was going to happen. It was only this one family. The angels were there and Lot saw them, and Lot invited them in, and eventually they went into his house. And this terrible incident happened with the men of the city. And the angels speak to Lot, and they say to him, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." Now you can't get clearer than that. You couldn't read this passage and say, well, they did speak to Lot about what was going to happen, but the language was so obscure and the words they used were so obscure and, you know, so difficult to understand that perhaps Lot and his wife didn't fully grasp what they were saying. You couldn't say that. I mean, the English translates the Hebrew correctly, and very simple words in the Hebrew. I mean, I don't know Hebrew very well, but I look at those words and even I can translate them. Very simple words. Up, get up, stand up. Take your wife and your two daughters. Get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. And later on, they say in verse 17, escape for your life. Get out of this city. Escape for your life. Do not look back. Again, very simple words. Very direct commands. Do not look back. Or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills. Get out of here. There's going to be destruction that is coming. These cities are going to be destroyed. Leave and do not look back. The warnings were very clear. They were very direct. And she heard them. And she understood them. And yet, despite having these clear warnings, she looks back and is therefore judged. You know, it's not enough to hear preaching from God's word. You can come to church every Sunday and you can hear preaching from God's word. And the preacher can be very clear. The preacher may be one of these men who is particularly gifted in clarity and simplicity. I envy people like that. A person who can speak very clearly and very simply and very directly to people. And you can hear a preacher who says, now look, we're all sinners and we are all alienated, separated from God. We're all under the judgment of God. And if we remain as we are, we will be judged. But God has sent His Son Jesus into this world. And those who trust Jesus Christ and put their faith in Him are rescued and are saved from this judgment. And you can hear this spoken clearly and simply. You can hear it from your friends. You can read it in the Bible. And you have very direct words spoken to you. And I'm trying to speak very directly to you this morning, and I'm saying this to you. We are all sinners. Whoever you are this morning, you're a sinner before God, just as I am. And we're all separated from God in our sins until we come to know Jesus. And we must all put our faith in Christ. We must trust Jesus. We must ask Him to save us from our sins. We must turn from our sins and repent of our sins. And we must come to Christ and ask Him to forgive us and save us and cleanse us and take us out from the kingdom of sin. We must ask Him to save us. You must do that. Now you can hear all these words, but hearing those words won't save you. She heard these words. They didn't save her. You must actually believe. You must actually ask Jesus to save you. I've said this before. I say it because I think it illustrates the point. When I became a Christian, I just bowed in my bedroom and I said, "Jesus, save me." You don't have to pray a long, elaborate prayer written in some prayer book or anything. You don't have to do that. You cry out from the heart, "Jesus, save me." You must do that. And you must turn from your sin and actually come to Him and embrace Him and love Him and follow Him. And He will save you. But simply listening won't save. Remember Lot's wife. Because these are very, very serious lessons from her. If you're not a Christian here this morning, You need to understand these lessons. She was judged despite the fact that she had many blessings. And she was judged despite the fact that she had godly relatives. And she was judged despite the fact that she had been warned clearly. Not a Christian here today. You must come to Christ and put your faith in Him and be saved through His life and His death and His resurrection. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word. It is a somber word, a serious word. And yet we thank You, Lord, that there are lessons to be learned from this woman. And we pray, our Father, that we would indeed remember Lot's wife and the lessons we learned from her. Help us, Lord, not to do what she did and to repeat her example, but help us to come to Jesus in faith and believe in Him. In His name we pray. Amen.